The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
Learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host, and today I'm delighted to welcome back my good friend for his monthly visit, Dr. Eric Karlstrom. Let's bring him up right now. Eric, are you with me?
Yeah, greetings, Andy, from Southern Colorado right now, and it's always good to be joining you. Last time we talked about gang stalking in the movies, which is kind of a remarkable topic that might give a heads up to a lot of people to something to relate to if they're not familiar with the whole process. So, we're on part two right now.
Yeah, and the other thing is, folks, is Eric is now, or has been for the last few months anyway, a regular guest on Jeff Rentz's show, which is the flagship show on this network, rentzradio.com. So please check him out there and subscribe, as I do. He's on, as I say, twice a month, and I always catch his shows on there as well. And Jeff is a very good host. But what we're going to do today is Eric's got some other material that he's just recently discovered. So we will get into the movies aspect later in the show. But first off, Eric, there was something else that you wanted to talk about before we got into that, that you were really quite surprised that you discovered. What can you tell us about this?
Well, yeah, thanks, Andy. Just for introduction for those who may not know, I'm a retired geography professor of 30 years at three universities. I have five websites: gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com, 911nwo.com, naturalclimatechange.com, .org, naturalclimatechange.org, which actually is my field of expertise in academics, paleoclimate and physical geography and climatology and that sort of thing. And then also San Luis Valley Water Watch, which deals with issues in my little valley, the San Luis Valley in Southern Colorado. And then my music website is erickarlstrom.com. So in my retirement over the last 10 years, I've been quite busy with these websites, and found myself being a targeted individual, for sure, in 2013, although I think it actually started before that. And so as a way to try to survive, because it's a hellacious program, and help others to survive, I've built up this website, gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com, which now has over 1,800 posts. And there are many, many other websites on this topic, and there are many, many, many books. And I refer to these books, and I refer to these other websites, and I try to, you know, look at articles and understand what's going on. Of course, one way to understand this is that it's kind of in your face. They show kind of how the system works in a number of very excellent movies, going back to the 90s, and actually one of them going back to the 30s. So this is not exactly new. It's kind of hidden in plain sight. You can read academic papers in war college journals, like military journals, from academic sources. You can, you know, it's just a gigantic subject, as the 1,800 posts would indicate. But I was thinking of introducing a little bit of information that I just put together, and that is that the gang stalking targeted individual program really probably is identical with what the military calls neo-corporatism. cortical warfare or neurowarfare, that is war against the mind, using psychological operations, using high-tech directed energy weapons and neuroweapons, which now, according to Dr. James Giordano at Georgetown University, which has always been an MKUltra school for mind control since the 50s, he says, oh, this is neurotech and neuroweapons, neuroscience is $175 billion per year industry. Okay. And it is. I mean, this is a gigantic, the biggest challenge to modern science is cracking, making a model of all the possible neuronal connections that we have in our brain. And of course, to try to make a model of silicon model of such with the European Union's the Human Brain Project of 2013 and the accompanying Obama initiative of 2013 as well. And of course, they need test subjects for that, right? And live test subjects are the best. And of course, let's just target our own citizens if they happen to get on a bad list, like the terrorism watch list, because they've been exposing government corruption or criminality or something like that. Well, that's what's been going on for a long, long time. Governments have been targeting their own citizens with these directed energy weapons, high-tech military programs. But this paper in 1994 kind of sums it up. It's written by a guy named Richard Zafronsky. It's called Neocortical War, the Acme of Skill. And it's in Military Review, U.S. Army Command and General Staff College, 1994. And here's a sentence out of that. What if we viewed war not as the application of physical force, but as the quest for metaphysical control? Ooh, there we're right into Star Wars and Obi-Wan Kenobi and the Emperor and Darth Vader and all this stuff, Luke Skywalker. Yes, I think that this is a phenomenal turn of events. As you read through this paper, you see that they really want to shift the whole basis of warfare to that of subduing the will of the enemy. And of course, going back to Sun Tzu, to defeat your enemy without fighting is the acme of skill, said Sun Tzu, 2,000 years ago, the Chinese military strategist. Well, okay, so the U.S. military is all on board with this and has been certainly since 1994. This is the revolution in military affairs. This is the promotion of what they call non-lethal weapons and the radical promotion of psychological warfare. So the movies, as it turns out, shows this never complete, and it's always a little bit skewed, but there's a lot of information in the movies. And we had a good discussion about this last time, wherein we talked about movies like Gaslight, which came, I think, in the 30s or maybe 40s with Ingrid Bergman, about how people can be, psychologically driven to think they're insane in a very deliberate manner. Obviously, these techniques go back a long way, maybe Illuminati-oriented. The Game is an excellent movie I just watched again for about the fourth time, 1998, I think, with Michael Douglas. We talked about Enemy of the State, The Hunger Games, Control Factor, the whole series, Jason Bourne series of The Super Soldier, then the actual documentary from East Germany, The Lives of Others. The Truman Show is excellent. A lot of TIs, or targeted individuals, identify with The Truman Show. Murder on the Orient Express is excellent. This is a psychological thriller in which numerous people team up, gang up, you might say, to murder one individual on a train. Of course, Agatha Christie wrote that story, and it's been made in a movie. The Manchurian Candidate movie, of course, 1962, with the Frank Sinatra shows how mind control might work. And all this was well developed even before the JFK assassination in 1963. There's plenty to talk about here. There's a couple other movies that I'm just recently been told about. One is called I Am Legend. One is Sandra Bullock, The Net. One is The Last Man on Earth. But, you know, we can zoom into any of these movies and we can dial in and we can, you know, since I am a TI, since I have researched this subject and because there's much, much, much written about it, you know, Jeff Rentz gave me the honor of, he said I was the expert on this last time we had a show. Well, I appreciate the sentiment, but there are many, many, many experts who've gone through this. I think millions of individuals have been, you know, used as lab rats for these kinds of military programs. And I would, you know, my expertise really derives in large part from their expertise, like Dr. Rauni Kilde, who was the chief medical officer of Northern Finland. Also, her husband was in the United Nations for Norway, ambassador for Norway. So she understood it from a medical viewpoint. She understood mind control from a medical viewpoint. And, of course, she had 30 years of experience being tortured as a targeted individual between 1985 and 2015, when I believe she was finally murdered with these frequencies of energy, you know, maybe induced heart attack, something like that. But anyway, yeah, she wrote a book called Bright Light on Black Shadows, and there are many, many other books. Gloria Naylor's 1996 book, Mark M. Rich's The New World War, Revolutionary Methods for Political Control, and his other one, the earlier one, I think is 2008, is The Hidden Evil, Financial Elite's Covert War on the Domestic Population. There are many, many, many books, and I've read them, and I've got them, and I refer to them. And so we can attack this from so many angles. On my website, I've got a whole series of a subheading called TI Statements. It must be many hundreds of statements from TIs. You want to know what it's like? Read their statements. We've got a whole series of articles from military journals, like this guy's Zafransky, you know, right up to the present. You can read those. Got a whole series of very excellent YouTube presentations by these same psychiatrists talking, you know, coaching the special operations forces and the, you know, of the military, how to use these neuro weapons. Hey, it's fun, says Dr. Charles Morgan a couple years ago in his lecture to a bunch of soldiers. You know, you just get on a little computer and you look at their, you know, their brain patterns, and, you know, the mind has no firewall, so they think they can just, you know, inject information into our brain on these electromagnetic frequencies using satellites and supercomputers, as Dr. Rauni Kilde points out. And it's a two-way stream. They can receive and send information to the human brain. Turns out the human brain is a lot like a radio, and this was known back in the late 20s. So this is these are the black ops. These are the black market ops. In fact, the largest in history, I believe, largest black project in history, going back maybe the first TIs back in 1955. So this is denied officially. And targeted individuals are usually dismissed as being crazy. And the goal is to destroy their lives one way or the other by getting them to commit suicide or getting them hospitalized as being, you know, schizophrenic, delusional, paranoid, whatever. And or getting them locked up as being a threat to society. Because these same techniques can be used to turn a normal person into a weapon. And a shooter, as it were, like the Las Vegas shooter, et cetera, can drive you crazy. And then you can be manipulated like a marionette on a string to do these mass shootings or whatever to fulfill a number of goals. For the elite, for the intelligence, military, corporate elite, or whoever's bossing them. And we talked about this. We actually showed a little clip last week or last month on this show where we started with 5 minutes of Marshall Thomas's video called Monarch, the new Phoenix program. Now, I'm guessing most people don't know what Monarch is, and most people don't know what the Phoenix program is. Well, this is a terrible shame, because this is what's come home to roost. Monarch, of course, is the military applications of the MKUltra mind control techniques, most of which are electronic, but include hypnosis and drugs and other things, the neuroweapons. And then, of course, the Phoenix program was invented by the CIA and deployed in Vietnam, and later in South America and Iraq and elsewhere in the Middle East to murder and torture civilians who were not on board with the U.S. invasion and occupation. So the Phoenix program was a highly computerized technique by which individuals in the civilian community were pointed out and picked up. And generally the CIA makes the list and the military would wipe them out. That's the whole counterinsurgency doctrine in a nutshell, going back to the 40s and 50s and probably further. And I'm rambling here, Andy. Jump in if you feel like it. We're still getting to the movies, but I'm kind of laying the stage here. The idea with the idea of Monarch, the new Phoenix program, is, okay, let's take somebody who is, quote, subversive or, quote, dissident or enemy of the state or somehow gets on the terrorism watch list. And then through this, you know, process, which could take years of kind of mental torture, psychological warfare, being hit with directed energy weapons and a whole suite of psychological attacks, including street theater, et cetera, we will gradually traumatize them to the point where they become very suggestive, and we can actually change their behavior, and now they will do what we want them to do. And they will do our bidding, and in the words of a 1952 CIA memo having to do with Operation Bluebird, I believe, we wanted to find ways to get people to do our bidding, even if it is opposed or is the opposite of what they would do based on self-interest or even self-preservation. In other words, we want to make a bio-robot slave. And so this is real warm and fuzzy stuff. I'm sorry, guys, but this is the world we live in. Now it can be done remotely. In the past, it was done when the MKUltra, it was done with, you know, typically, you know, traumatizing young children, 0 to 6 years of age, with all kinds of horrific tortures like rape, which would cause the mind to dissociate, split off. In order to survive, the child splits off another subaltern personality because the torture is too grim. And that alter personality then, people like Dr. Joseph Mengele, the angel of death in Auschwitz, the Nazi discovered, okay, and others, of course, the Illuminati, that this alter personality can be trained up to have a certain identity, and then that identity can be triggered. So this became very scientifically improved upon by the CIA. Work of the Nazis was built upon, and then it was operationalized by the military with their Monarch program. So the point of the whole video we showed was that the what's happening, and has been happening for a long time, is that individuals who are critical, for instance, of government corruption, or, you know, might point out that 9/11 was done by the Air Force and the other interagency, and, you know, like I have, they might get on a terrorism watch list with the Department of Homeland Security, and then they can be surveilled and experimented on based on Directive 5240. Anybody who's surveilled can be experimented on just like a lab rat. And that in practice means, okay, we're going to try to turn you into our asset. It's pretty much what they did in the Vietnam War, you know, with the Viet Cong, who were, you know, the sympathizers, or the civilians who were sympathizers of the Viet Cong, who were, of course, opposing the American invasion and occupation. And so let's first give them a chance to rat out on their neighbors and become an asset. And if they won't do that, then we'll torture them to death, and always to death. And it was a very grim program that killed maybe 50,000 to 80,000 civilians which of course is a violation of all the rules of warfare. So we're in a new era now. All the civil liberties being rescinded, they're just thrown out the window. All the Nuremberg Code, you can't do non-consensual experimentation, been thrown out the window. The Geneva Accords, all the rules of God and man, essentially, have been thrown out by the U.S. government and other governments who are on the same page with this program. So we're talking about evil on a scale that most people cannot begin to contemplate. I'm reminded of William Shakespeare's quote in someone in one of his plays, "Hell is empty, all the devils are here." Well, this is the case if you're a TI. You know, the people that you meet are often very, very demonic appearing. Okay, I'll let you jump in if you want, or other we'll just go into some of these movies.
Yeah, I think it's quite a good summation that you've given, you know, to bring people up to date. Well, rather people who haven't listened before as well, to sort of, you know, that they can look back on some of these things like the Monarch Program and the Phoenix Program or Project Monarch, whatever it was, that sense, and the mind control from a medical viewpoint. This has been a long program. It's been going on for decades, folks, and you know, it's interesting to see how it's developed today. And, you know, we all feel targeted today with what's going on with lockdowns and forced vaccinations, because that's what they are. When they start bringing in passports, it's absolutely ridiculous having an internal passport. And it is internal, because internal in many ways, not just within your own country, but within your own body, you know. But whilst what is being done to us around the world is terrible, targeted individuals have been hit far harder, and they've been hit when this wasn't going on, which has made it more difficult for them as well, because they haven't had the support network that they need. You know, most people, even their own family, will think that they're being silly, and then they'll go and see a doctor and they'll tell them that they're mentally, you know, that they're insane. You know, it's a mental issue. It's not what's being done to them. And that's all part of it. It's tremendously evil. And, you know, like they always do, there's that saying that, you know, if they hadn't have got away with the USS Liberty attack, you wouldn't have had 9/11. Well, it's always been a stepping stones process with these people. And as soon as they get away with one thing, they think, right, what can we do that's even worse next time? What can we get away with next time? And I think now we're at that level where they think that they can come after everybody, and that's exactly what we're seeing happen. Would that be an accurate interpretation, Eric? Back to you.
I think so, yeah. I think that we TIs, targeted individuals, have been the beta test for the mind control system that is being rolled out across the world, which is based on psychological warfare, the application of directed energy weapons, of course 5G, neuro weapons, and information warfare, and civil military operations, low-intensity conflict, peacekeeping operations. There are so many euphemisms that the military has used, but this is coming out of the military intelligence corporate sector. And, of course, that is controlled by the world's satanic elite. And they are really satanic. And if you know anything about this program, you know that trauma-based mind control is applied. And really, that is satanic ritual abuse, or it overlaps with. So the insane doctors like Dr. Joseph Mengele and others of, you know, the angel, Auschwitz angel of death, they are occultists. And I would argue, and other TIs have argued, that most of the people that really participate in this program, from the top right on down to street level, where they're doing street theater, these are really occultists. I don't think you're going to get too many Christians, Andy, who will torture others to the point of suicide. This is not consistent with Jesus' commandments, obviously, to love God and love your fellow man, you know, which really shouldn't be that hard, but it seems that war is the, you know, the organizing principle of modern society, certainly the United States, the economic organizing principle, and we have just sold our souls to that demon of killing and death and torture and dominance, you know, at all costs. I mean, it's God give us anyway. I won't go on down that road. But Christians, I don't think, participate, but occultists do. Satanists certainly do. And I think you can argue that many of the doctors, the mad scientist doctors down through the, you know, many decades, the people like Dr. Norbert Wiener at MIT, who, you know, really invented the topic of cybernetics, the merger of humans and machines, and how to communicate and read EEGs, electroencephalograms, via computer. How to communicate with the brain with his autocorrelator, which he invented in 1955. People like Dr. Ewan Cameron, the mad scientist at McGill University in Canada, who tried to erase the minds of patients that came to him, and then reprogrammed them to create a tabula rosa of empty surface so that it could be written on and reprogrammed. Well, they're just talking about making human slaves. And he, at this time, back in the 60s, thought, golly, you know, he was head of the American Psychiatric Association, the Canadian Psychiatric Association, and the World Psychiatric Association. And he believed that the work he was doing would get him a Nobel Prize. So, you know, we often talk about the greatest generation out of World War II. I don't see it that way at all. I think they were deranged and demented because they believed in science so much they were going to government and science were going to replace God. And we have been in that paradigm, I think, ever since. These are, you know, mad scientists, very brilliant, I'm sure, but very mad. And I've got many articles about who these people are. There's a great movie called The Minds of Men. It's almost 4 hours long that goes through this history. I've written an article in 2012. Called Mind Control History and Applications, which reviews the history of all this stuff. So it's out there. People can read about it. People need to read about it for self-defense because we have this brilliant nexus or this demonic nexus of military intelligence and brilliant scientists who've been experimenting on animals and humans for a long time to assert this kind of control. And, okay, so that's all background. Well, let's get into a movie. How about one of these movies like, let's talk about Enemy of the State. 1998, I believe, with Will Smith being a lawyer. He's just going about his life. He's married. He's got a kid. And then all of a sudden, one of his friends who he had in college all of a sudden is running for his life because his friend is a wildlife biologist who happened to have a camera set up next to a lake in which the head of the NSA whacks a senator who wasn't going to vote for his, super surveillance bill. Okay, so you actually see it on the camera, and now all of a sudden the biologist is, holy moly, what do I do with this? And, of course, the NSA figures this out because the NSA, by the way, is, to 100 billion or more per year with 50,000 employees, the state-of-the-art surveillance around the world, as William Binney, the ex-NSA counterterrorism expert, who now is a TI, said the NSA tracks them, the CIA whacks them. And so anyway, the NSA, lost no time trying to track this guy down. And then he slips this video into his friend's pocket as he's running for his life through Washington, D.C. And now Will Smith has it. He doesn't even know it. But meanwhile, a team of about 20 NSA super thugs are chasing this guy down in the street. And, then, of course, this whole operation is being bossed out of a room with many, many computer screens with total surveillance. They know exactly where the target is at all times. They have their assets that they can bring in, and it's a military operation. They're going after this poor wildlife biologist. It's a military operation. They've got eyes. They've got satellites. Okay, put a satellite on them. They say that in the movie. So you're dealing with, you know, the most asymmetrical, that's their term, unbalanced power equation you can possibly imagine. The target is one person, happens to be a wildlife biologist in this case, on a bicycle. And then you've got the whole apparatus, multi-billion dollar apparatus of the National Security Agency, to track him down and kill him, and that's their goal. And of course, they do that. They trace him. They chase him down the street until a bus kills him, and then he's gone. And they think their problem is solved, but then they find out that he doesn't have the video. And it doesn't take them long to figure out that Will Smith's got the video, and then they do the same to him. He just happens to run into a guy who was ex-NSA, who kind of keeps him alive for a while because he understands the technology involved, and he's very good at it. And so they survive for another couple days. And eventually Will Smith outsmarts the NSA, and the bad guy, who is the head of the NSA, is exposed for being the criminal he is. But meanwhile, all the people who were involved in this chase, this asymmetrical warfare operation, are questioned in this movie by the FBI, who in reality are totally in on this stuff. And they say, oh, it was just a training exercise. We thought it was just an exercise, you know. And so anyway, it just shows you the dynamics of, you know, 20, 50,000, you know, $100 billion worth of equipment and 500 people ganging up on one targeted individual. Well, this is a little what it's like sometimes. Sometimes it's not, certainly it's not that, immediate. It's a little more relaxed than that, but sometimes not much more. If you're in the city and you're targeted, you could be accosted. You could be exposed to what I call lies, spies, setups, and psyops 50 times a day with street theater, with people bumping you, with people terrorizing you, harassing you, abusing you. Abuse is, I think, the key operative word. It is no-touch torture developed by the CIA. Soft kill, silent kill, slow kill. But you see the dynamics. You see, you pull a curtain back in a movie like Enemy of the State. And I think the operative line, the one I like the best, is Will Smith, you know, who is the lawyer whose life is being destroyed by these guys, unraveled, because they tell lies to his wife, and they fake pictures of him having an affair with somebody else, and they wreck his wife and his wife's relationship with his wife. They destroy all his credit cards so that there's nothing there. They just very quickly destroy all aspects of his life because actually he's a targeted individual. See, and his great line was, "This is my life. I've worked hard to get it. I want it back." And this is exactly how a TI feels, if the TI has any moxie. Hey, you have your superior technology. You have spies all over the place. You have people on their cell phone apps, you know, doing this, that, and the other in a chain of command to try to wreck my day or wreck my life. This is my life. You have no right to deprive me of my civil liberties. In fact, this is treason by the 13th Amendment. And I've got one article, Andy, talking about all the laws of God and man which are broken by this hideous program, which is advanced not only by our government, to be sure, but also, I think, now by private groups as well. So anyway, that's the Enemy of the State. Did you ever see that movie? I guess I should ask that.
No, Eric. Folks, we just had a problem there. We got cut off, but I'm picking up from where Eric asked me if I'd seen the movie Enemy of the State. That's one that I hadn't seen. For some reason, it didn't appeal, though I don't know why, because it may have been just off the actors. Was the other one in there Gene Hackman? Was it?
Yes, Gene Hackman was the ex-NSA expert spy that kind of saved Will Smith's life for a while. Yeah, it's compelling. From a TI's point of view, you can learn a lot from watching that movie, and from others as well. Yeah.
Yeah, but looking at it, I think it's something probably worth watching. I will pick up at some point. But yeah, it's amazing to me how much they're so brazen. You know, they put it out as if it's a movie. And we know that these things go on. We know, you know, pretty much if you took a vote in the USA as to how many people think the government were involved in killing Kennedy, well, we know there's more to it than that. But I'd say overwhelmingly people would vote yes. And yet they'll still put out movies like that showing that these things that most likely go on, and they just get away with it. It's just another example of Hollywood just laughing at the people. But it all boils down to, when you give people this amount of power, And you've got business like, you can go back to the Clintons, you know, the all these people suicided, you know, in the Clinton era. And everyone knows it's going on, but nothing's done. Because the same people backing them are controlling the media, and so they make sure that there's no stink about it, there's no investigation that's ever reported, and they just get away with it. And this is the whole problem. This entity, this evil entity, deep state, whatever you want to call it, has grown over a period of not just decades, I'd say centuries. It's been given more and more and more power. And so now it's like, we've got the power we need, we can do what we want. And even up to this point, they love nothing more than rubbing the people's noses in it. I mean, the references even to 9/11 in Back to the Future, you know, over 15 years beforehand. They knew something was going to happen there. And they just put it in there. This program is a long, drawn-out affair. And it's probably not happened fast enough for them. But they've got a plan, and they've been, you know, implementing each step of that plan and looking forward to it as they do so. That would be my comment, Eric. Back to you.
Yeah, and they have these enormous tools, the deep state tools, the NSA Global Spy Network, because the Five Eyes of, you know, England, America, or Britain, America, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, actually now the agreements that cooperate in this spy alliance actually includes something like 105 countries now, and they use the same techniques, and they're partner agencies. So this is very much a global, probably Rothschild run enterprise. After all, they own all the central banks of the world, pretty much, except for one or two, and they, you know, they're worth trillions. So we're really talking Rockefellers and Rothschilds at the top of this pyramid, and above them, of course, their god, we know, is Satan. So unfortunately, this whole system is Luciferic as all get out. But yeah, you mentioned the Vince Foster, one of the Clinton murders. One was Vince Foster, of course. And that was, you know, officially a suicide. But there was a fellow named Patrick Knowlton who just happened to be in the Washington, D.C. area, and he pulled over I've got this on my website as well, his testimony, and a video to the effect. But he pulled over at a park. He wanted to take a leak, and he happened to see a car over there, which I think was... you know, it somehow contradicted the official narrative of the car that, you know, that Vince Foster had. And the FBI got onto this guy real quick to get him to change his story. They put him through the terror and the abuse of gang stalking and intimidation by FBI agents. And this is we could read some of that at some future time to see how the real experts do it. I mean, the FBI, they're very good at terrorizing people because, of course, the targeting program is directly related to their counterintelligence program, or COINTELPRO, 1958 to 1972, in which they, you know, killed many, many Black Panthers, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and various other leftist leaders, because they don't want a government to get out of the control of the fascist corporate sector. But anyway, yeah, that was a good comment you made about the Clinton murders, because these are all covered up with these kinds of techniques as well. And we have evidence of that. But let's go to another movie. I think Enemy of the State's worth watching. I think The Truman Show is worth watching. I've watched that several times. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen that one either. Okay. This was my understanding of it was it's a guy who thinks he's just living a normal life, but his whole life is a TV show, and he doesn't realise that, but everyone watching does. And you know, I mean, when it came out, I knew I wasn't involved in this sort of thing. I was still a normie, so I just sort of looked at that and I thought, well, you know, I prefer to watch something sort of, you know, something like Goodfellas, you know what I mean, or something like that. And so it didn't appeal to me. But now, you know, I think a lot of people listening would agree as well. You know, you start seeing some of these things and seeing more to them than you did when before you woke up to what's really going on.
Yes, I think a lot of targeted individuals would relate to this movie. As it turns out, if you watch the special scenes at the end of it, you know, on the DVD, it tells you a little bit of the background story. Apparently, the guy who wrote the story on which the movie is based has a cameo role in which he's naked in a bathtub and he's watching this show, and he's just very, very glued to the TV. It's almost like he's climaxing or something, because he's so into watching what's going on, the life of this guy. Well, apparently the story that he wrote, that is to say the person who played that role in the movie, was much, much darker, in the sense that instead of everybody being smiley-faced and friendly to this guy Truman, everybody was mean, which, of course, is much, much more like gang stalking. But the director, whose name I forget, but both of these fellows, I think, are of a certain ethnic persuasion, which would perhaps be very glued in or clued in about this process, because they've used it for many, many years. He wanted to make a set which was all light and airy, so he actually kind of, rented a town and redid the surface, I think. And it's all, it's kind of like the spotless sunshine of the mind or something. And in the movie, poor old Truman, who doesn't know that he is the only one who's real, is surrounded by actors, and they're all pretending to play the role. And apparently Truman was a corporate commodity since even before his birth, and everything about his life has been filmed and for public consumption in order to sell a whole series of, commercial products, which they advertise on the show. And his wife is acting, and his friend is acting, and everybody's playing a role except Truman, who is the real guy. Well, he finds out through the movie, actually, one of the actresses falls in love with him, but of course they can't be together because his whole life now is completely controlled and scripted by this guy who's the director, who actually does a very good job of playing God or a surrogate for God. She tells him, everybody's pretending. And, so little by little, he starts to figure out what's going on, that the people around him are playing roles, and that, he's being watched by millions, and he's actually a commodity. He's actually this reality show is making a lot of money for all concerned except him. So he eventually figures this out and walks off off the set, you might say, at the end, and everybody applauds and then turns the channel to the next next program, So, but there's some real lessons in there for the targeting process, because especially the part about everybody's pretending, because the target's life will be surrounded by surveillance role players, crisis actors, counterintelligence operatives, people who are doing street theater to send messages. It's a very expensive program, I think. It must be. But they want to contain the external world of the targeted individual almost like a lab rat. Now, you have your own electronic concentration camp that goes wherever you go. So they surveil you, of course, with all that NSA tracking stuff. They'll put bugs and things in your houses. They'll use through-the-wall microwave weapons as well as spy gear. So they want to keep track of you every second, and they want to control your external environment. They want to isolate you. They want to break all your relationships. They want to destroy all aspects of your life and leave you alive. So it's like a neutron bomb, in a sense, which is designed to kill people and leave the building standing. The TI program is designed to destroy the life of the targeted individual but leave the target alive. So now, get the target homeless, get them propertyless, get them on the street where they can, really work on them. It's a very insidious program. Whereas the Truman Show seems kind of upbeat, the life of a targeted individual is just the opposite, because the signals and the messages you're mostly getting from the people that you contact are very negative. And the idea, again, is to abuse and traumatize and intimidate the target individual so that they have a personality disintegration. And then that can be reprogrammed. Your mind can now be reprogrammed so that you can do the bidding of your masters, your unseen masters. So again, this comes back to MK Ultra, the Monarch program, remote control of individuals. The Stasi did something similar. They called it Zersetzung, which means decomposition in German. They want to decompose, unravel the life, the credibility, the relationships, everything about the target's life. And this involves local people coming into the community and spreading gossip, rumors that aren't true. You know, he's a pedophile, she's a prostitute, et cetera. And getting all your neighbors to think ill of you and stay away from you, and then putting people in your life that are going to reinforce negative messages. And so pretty soon, the psychological impact of this is devastating to targeted individuals, as it's meant to be. So the Truman Show is kind of a reverse reflection of what is happening. But like the Truman Show, a lot of money is being made off of the targeting process. This is a growth industry. It's a for-profit industry. They are often using the targets to test directed energy weapons and neuroweapons on. They're using the targets to actually read their thoughts and emotions remotely. And these then can be traded on the medical market, apparently, when you're talking about the Human Brain Project and things like that. So I think that the ETIs are the beta test for Bill Gates' 666 patent, which is the remote body and mind control of all individuals, which is being rolled out now under the auspices of this COVID plandemic, scamdemic. Now we have to have no more real currency. We're going to have cryptocurrency, which is going to be allotted to the human body remotely, electronically, based on your body activity, which they can measure remotely. And if you are doing what you're supposed to do, in other words, you're a good slave, then you get credits on the company store, crypto credits or whatever, so that you can live. And if you're not being a good little doobie, according to the elite, they just simply cut you off and you can't survive. This, I believe, is their vision. I think we're seeing it rolled out right now. And I think we TIs over the past 60, 70 years have been the beta test for this and other projects that are very, very nefarious. So this is why I think it's so important to expose these things.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree, Eric. And so much has happened in such a short space of time. Someone else mentioned the Bill Gates 060606 patent to get body data for cryptocurrency, etc. But it seems like years ago now, but it wasn't that long ago. But because their new strategy is to constantly bombard us with, variants and lockdowns and masks and, this might be happening and that might be happening and all these different things just to, really overwhelm us with information. We tend to forget the significant information that we've picked up. And, I mean, if that had come out 4 or 5 years ago, even less than that, Bill Gates has developed this patent, that's the number of it, and this is what it's going to do, would have gained a lot more traction than it did when it was revealed.
But part of this onslaught, I think it did come out in 2019, of course, just before the COVID in January 2020. But of course, we had all these things leading up to that, obviously very, very carefully planned program, lockstep document 2010, and then the Crimson Contagion and the Event 201 and all these they military game these things in advance and very carefully, and then they roll them out on the public. But this patent is all part of that, and of course Bill Gates is central to all of this, and of course his father worked very closely with the eugenics aspect of the Rockefeller Foundation. And was very tight with the Rockefellers. And, of course, the Rockefeller Foundation, wrote Lockstep 2010. So it's really a small group of elite globalists, you know, the Rockefeller Foundation, the UN, the World Economic Forum, Johns Hopkins University, certain key universities are always involved. It's not hard to see who the megalomaniac, maniacal villains are right now, Andy. And, of course, Klaus Schwab, head of the World Economic Forum, was with the UN for a long time, and his mentor was Maurice Strong, who, of course, was the Mr. Guru of Save the Earth Environment programs, and the guy who really founded the spiritual community that I live in Crestone, Colorado. And I think that all that's to feed the new age, which is to be the new world religion, which is to be the worship of Satan, Lucifer, which is to accompany the new world order, which they are hoping to pull in by 2030, which is UN Agenda 2030. In fact, Maurice Strong wrote UN Agenda 21, which now is morphed into UN Agenda 2030. So it's really, you know, I mean, they are very exposed. You wonder why they're moving so fast. You know, well, if we got together and figured this out, I mean, we'd take out 50 people and, you know, we can make a difference, you know. That is to say, we 7.5 billion people, whom they intend to depopulate down to about 1 billion. So that the pre-crime aspect of this is they are now in the process of culling the herd down to about a billion between now and 2050. So, and again, these people, these eugenicists are very out in the open right now. If they didn't have all their bodyguards, we could just, you know, give them a new island, say, hey, live here in Antarctica, leave us alone. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
but anyway, so, yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's just so awful the way that people have become so evil, but everyone gets given that opportunity. The Bible is the most available book in the world. You can get your hands on a new copy easily, an old copy easily. And it's right there. Read the book of John. Look at different things in there. But these people have had the opportunity too. But they've decided to practice evil. And they honestly believe, this is something I touched upon yesterday, the way that we're seeing the denial of religious exemption from having a vaccine, consequently leading to a loss of employment, just goes to show that these people have elevated themselves above God, a man's belief in God. That's what they've done. They've said, right, we're in charge now, that your God's not going to help you anymore, we're in charge. That's their view, and that's what they're going to do. And it's just amazing how brazen that they've become. But then have a look at the book of Revelation, and that's right where we are now, in my opinion, Eric.
I agree. I totally agree. I think we're living it, which is, you know, an honor, I suppose, in some senses. We do have, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We do know how the book ends, but we also know that it's going to be a rocky ride. But we also know we're under protection for those of us who believe in Jesus as the Son of God. You know, that affords us metaphysical protection. And one of the things that they, of course, have been trying to destroy is our connection to God, is our soul. And, of course, a lot of the TIs have been used in these kinds of experiments where they actually want to map the mind and take the soul. And this is going back a long time. And it is the military, and it is the military, you know, working with the government. And after World War II, we saw this just, you know, explosion of secular humanism. Government now will take the role of God. And I have to say, my family, my father worked for the U.S. Geological Survey. My uncle worked with the CIA. I grew up in the D.C. area. I was brought up in a Unitarian home. And, of course, Unitarian is kind of Christianity very light. In fact, it's you might say it's Judaized Christianity. You might say it's soft Satanism, because you take you say Jesus is not the Son of God. You say he's just a great teacher. Well, this of course is what Crestone's all about too. We're just going to blend all these religions together. We'll mix them up, and out's going to come Lucifer, the worship of Lucifer. Take Jesus Christ and God out of the center of your worship life, and all these other false gods can replace them. And that is, of course, what they want with the New Age movement and promoting all these other crazy doctrines. But we know that, you know, as you say, we well could be in the end times. I would say to your listeners, you know, we're still in the age of grace. If you're on the fence, repent. we're all very flawed. Repent, ask God's forgiveness, believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and what he did here on the earth, on the cross, for your salvation, shedding his blood on the cross for your salvation. Make that your core belief. Then just love God and love your fellow man as best you can. Now, I must say, being a targeted individual, I think they're trying to put us in hell so that they cut off our relationship with God. But many of us, of course, respond by becoming more committed to our faith. And I am one of those. I was in church yesterday at the Baptist church here in Crestone, and I picked, you know, there's always something, because the preacher here is always very biblically oriented. And I remember during the little kids' kiddie church right at the beginning, the pastor's wife said, those to whom the truth sounds like hate, no, how did she say it? For those who hate the truth sounds like hate. Well, so you and I are doing hate speech because we're telling the truth. That's how upside down our world is now. But anyway, I'll pause there, Andy. I think you're right on track. I think we need to remind our audience and ourselves that salvation is still possible, that things are going to get hairy, that Satan is making his move right now. We can see the face of Satan and his minions. I can see them all the time as a targeted individual. I believe most of the people who come into my life to try to, you know, psychologically degrade and destroy me are unfortunately have made the opposite choice. And I think it's very sad. And it is like Shakespeare said, hell is empty, all the devils are here.
Yes, and I think that's a good place to end it. We've covered our slot. It's more difficult to follow when you have an interruption, folks, and I lost Eric and called him back, but the show's, you know, the two will join together perfectly. But before we go, Eric, any last message for the audience?
Well, no, I hope this line of investigation, inquiry is useful to people. I do think that many of these movies are worth watching because it's kind of like in your face. This is predictive programming. This is hidden in plain sight. I think this is the Illuminati, which is certainly involves the DOD and the CIA and all kinds of psychologists and the medical profession. Really, they're kind of laughing at us, but they're also, maybe by the rules of Satanism, they have to tell us what they're doing to us before they do it, and then they say, well, they didn't react, so now we can kill you. But the movies that we featured right now, and there's many more, The Game, Enemy of the State, the Jason Bourne movies, The Truman Show, Control Factor, The Hunger Games, The Skulls, and some others like The Lives of Others, these are worth watching to understand how they unravel the lives of the people that they find a threat to their satanic system. So you just have to remember, national security and national interest does not mean the interest of you or your nation. It means the interest of the elite. And a threat to national security does not mean a threat to your nation or you. It means a threat to the elite. You have to just make these Orwellian linguistic adjustments in your mind to understand what they're doing. Everything is the opposite of what they say.
That's absolutely right, Eric. And folks, Eric and I will be back again next month. I want to thank Eric so much for joining me today for a show entitled Gang Stalking in the Movies Part 2. I want to thank all of you for listening. I will, of course, be back with you all tomorrow. And until then, folks, have a wonderful day and bye for now.